If you have your Bibles this morning, would you turn together with me to Luke chapter 15? Luke chapter 15, we'll begin reading this morning with verse 25. I think this is the last Sunday we're going to be in Luke 15, although I had a thought this morning. So thoughts always scare me, so have to see where that one goes. Luke 15, verse 25. It's the continuation of the story of the prodigal son. Now his older son was in the field. As he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing, and he called one of the servants and he asked what these things meant. And he said to him, "Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fatted calf because he has received him back safe and sound." But he was angry and refused to go in. His father came out and entreated him, but he answered his father, "Look, these many years I have served you, and I never disobeyed your command. Yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him." And he said to him, "Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for this young brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found." This is the word of the Lord today, and we are thankful for it. Let me just set the stage for you again to get it in your mind. The two brothers have grown up in this home, and apparently it's a fairly wealthy home. There's going to be a nice retirement one day. I guess inheritance would be a better word for it. There's going to be a nice inheritance one day, and the younger son goes to the father. And what father doesn't want to hear this? He goes to his father and he says, "Dad, wouldn't it be neat if you were dead right now? Because I would get my money then." And instead of dad giving him a peace of mind or maybe a backhand across the face, he sits down and he writes him out a check and he says, "If you want your inheritance now, I'll go ahead and give it to you now." He goes off into the far country, the scripture says, and he wastes everything that he has on dissolute living. Sounds bad, doesn't it? And he ends up, because he is so poor and he has no skills and there's nothing to do and there's great famine in the land, he ends up slopping the hogs for a guy and eating what the hogs leave over. And the scripture says that one day he comes to his senses, there is a conversion that happens in his mind, and he says, "My father's servants have plenty. I will go to him and I will say, I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me one of your servants." So he makes that long journey, and as he's headed home, he's rehearsing his speech. His father sees him a long way off, and he jumps off the porch, and he runs and he greets his son. And before his son can even get through this whole thing of forgiveness and make me into one of your servants, his father has his arms around him. He is putting a robe on his back. He is putting a finger on his ring, and he kills the fatted... He puts a ring on his finger. You know, if y'all didn't laugh, I wouldn't even know what I say. He puts a ring on his finger and kills the fatted calf, and they celebrate, for the son that was lost is found. Sounds like we're celebrating, right? Sounds like good news. But the older brother comes, and he hears the singing, and he sees the rejoicing and the dancing and everything that's going on. And he says, "What's this about?" I say, "Well, your brother's home." And he gets angry. Now, I don't know about you, but that's just embarrassing, isn't it? It seems to me that there are some things in Scripture they should have just cleaned up before they let it get through the final editing process. We don't need to know that. It's embarrassing. I mean, that anybody would act that way. I mean, we may understand in our minds. We may get it. We may have felt that way ourselves before. Maybe you have a worthless brother who's squandering away your inheritance. Whatever it may be, we all understand it, but it's still embarrassing to watch. Have you ever asked yourself why? Do you ever sit down and ask yourself, whether it's scripture or life or whatever it may be, why am I having this feeling about this? Why is it that I'm reading this story and I'm embarrassed for the older brother? Well, I'll tell you why. I think I know why. I think it's because he's not acting right. Isn't that it? Isn't it embarrassing when someone doesn't act appropriately? When someone who's supposed to be mature, when someone who is supposed to be a role model, when someone just doesn't get it and they act in wrong ways, it just makes you want to put a bag over your face. It's just embarrassing. I mean, after all, he had at least a couple of other options here. I mean, instead of pouting and going off, he could have, I know this is hard, I know this is difficult, but he could have embraced the love of the Father and embraced his brother in grace and forgiveness. Or failing that, he could have done what Christians have learned how to do throughout the centuries. He could have just faked it. Right? Isn't that part of what we learn early on as Christians? You learn how to fake it. How are you doing? Great. Because we're afraid of the truth. Well, we just learn how to fake it all the time. How's your marriage? Not a problem. We learn how to fake it. How are your kids? Perfect. Just don't drop by our house unannounced. We've learned how to fake it. Even when we don't feel right, we know how to put on the right face. Even when they ask the questions and we don't know the answer, we still raise our hand and say, Jesus! Because about 80% of the time, you're right. Can you imagine what it would have looked like if the brother had just done the Christian thing and just faked it? If he had gone in kind of with a smile on his face and going around and working the crowd and shaking hands, a snide remark here, a snide remark there. Oh, isn't it great to have your brother back? Well, I guess it's great for the prostitution rings. I guess the people down at the bars are going to be happy, you know? You just got to be happy about that. Maybe he goes around and he says, listen, I sure would appreciate it if you'd pray for Dad. He's so gullible. And you and I both know that brother of mine, he's going to be off as soon as Dad gives him some more money, right back into the same hole where he's been over and over and over again. But Dad just keeps on believing and just pray that he doesn't lose faith in God this time. Wouldn't it have been more Christian of him if he had just faked it a little bit? I tell you what we're not comfortable with. We're not comfortable with people who are honest. Because honesty is embarrassing. Honesty reveals what's right at the heart of our lives. As a matter of fact, I don't know about you, but I don't even care about being honest with myself. Because it just creates too much turmoil. But what Jesus gives us is a portrait of a person that's here that is so refreshingly, embarrassingly honest, we see right smack dab into his heart. And you know what you see? You see a guy who loves the farm more than he loves the Father. It's embarrassing. It's childish. It's downright hypocritical. But it's the truth. And he at least is willing to just kind of open up his heart and say, here's the deal. All this stuff is mine and Father doesn't give me anything, but he keeps killing fatted calves for this no good guy. That's my inheritance he's eating. He loves the farm more than he loves the Father. That's a frightening thing to see in life. I don't know why it is, but it seems so much easier to see in other people, doesn't it? Their priorities are all messed up. Do you remember a number of years ago, great running back in the National Football League, by the way, preseason starts today. Yay! I look forward to this time every year. Ricky Williams? Quit football. Millions and millions of dollars on the table. He quit for a few years because he said, I like smoking pot more than I like making $7 million a year. Well, what kind of nut are you? At least he's honest. Yeah. Not very many people that honest in the world to look themselves in the mirror and know the truth. I did a funeral a number of years ago. I've done a lot of funerals through the years, and it's one of those times where truth just seems to happen whether you want it to or not. What's really in people's heart just kind of comes out. He was a relatively young man. He was in his 60s, and he'd been having some back pain, and he thought, well, you know, it's just kind of because I'm a little overweight, and I'm getting older, and this is just what you have to go through. But it kept getting worse and worse, and he finally went to the doctor, and they did the x-rays, and he had a very large tumor on his spine. And it was in a place where they couldn't operate, and he passed away pretty quickly. He was in his second marriage because his first wife had died of cancer. Can you imagine what that'd be like as kids? Your mom and your dad have both passed away, and both of them died with cancer, and you've got the whole gene thing that's going on, and maybe I'm going to be able to start catching this one day, and you start asking all kinds of questions. And so I was worried about the kinds of things that the kids were going through. And this was a southern church. You were talking about the hill people. One of the things about southern churches is you have rows of family. And don't you sit on their row. God help you if you do. Whole row of family going to church there, 3-4 generations, they're all there, and I'm just wondering, how's this going to work? And you see, Buddy had remarried after his first wife died, and the boys didn't like the new wife. And, I mean, we no more had Buddy buried, and those two boys were over at that house with pickup trucks, emptying out that house because they didn't want that woman to touch any of their stuff. Poor Buddy was rolling in his grave that day. Sad to watch. They like hunks of wood more than they love their father. You ever seen it? It's sad when you do. His name was Jerry. Not our Jerry. Just want to be clear here. He was kind of loud and obnoxious. See, not like our Jerry at all. But people still kind of liked him. You got to know him for a while, and there were two things, I guarantee you, two things in his life that you knew that he loved more than life itself. Golf and Alabama Crimson Tide football. His wife and kids and everything else came somewhere below that, but golf and Alabama Crimson Tide football came before anything else. He played golf every Saturday. And if he couldn't play on Saturday, then he took a day off so he could play earlier in the week so he could make up for the Saturday golf he was going to miss. His wife was diagnosed with brain cancer on a Thursday. They gave her 3 months to live. Friday, he took off from work. Not to spend time to grieve with his wife, but to go play golf. Because early Saturday morning, he was driving down to Tuscaloosa because he had tickets to the football game. Can you imagine what it's like to be married to someone that in your moment of deepest need is more interested in hitting a little white ball and going watching kids throw a ball than you? Can you imagine what it's like to look in someone's face and for them to say, I like golf. I love golf more than I love you. It'll break your heart. You ever seen that? You ever seen that in life? People that just love the farm. whatever the farm may be, more than they love the Father. I mean, it might be a job, it might be a status, it might be your kids, it might even be your wife, your husband, whatever it may be. I love the farm more than I love the Father. And sometimes this whole farm business, it isn't just that stuff. Have you ever seen someone that loved the church more than they love God? The church, the buildings, the blocks, the stuff, meant more. Why, for some people in some places, the carpet on the floor is more holy than the people. Don't do that. You might get the carpet dirty. That's why they make cleaners. Don't put your hands on the wall. Don't put your hands on the glass door. Well, what are we about? But we love the farm. Maybe sometimes more than we love the Father. All messed up. Gentle man named Horace. Isn't that a great name? Horace. Now in the South you say horse, not Horace. And his last name was Fly. So a mama did this to him, Horse Fly. Gentle man. Great leader of the church. Had been on the board for about 30 years. And then when he retired from his job, he decided it was time to retire and pass that job on to others until the board made a big mistake. You did know that board members make mistakes, right? Boards make big, big mistakes sometimes. We're just being honest. The leadership of the church wants to be honest with you. Sometimes we really blow it in catastrophic ways. And we stepped in it big time this time. The church was going through a season where there were a lot of babies being born, and we were part of that. And there were a lot of other young couples in the church that were having babies, and we went from having just a few to having, 12, 15 babies at once, and the little nursery wasn't big enough, and so we had this junk room beside the nursery. You know how every church kind of has a junk room? Some people's homes, they have a junk room, but that's just what I've heard. And so there was a junk room that just kind of a catch-all when you didn't know what to do with it, you threw it in this room. And someone on the board came up with a bright idea that said, you know what? Instead of devoting holy space to junk, why don't we devote some space to these babies that are coming along? Kick out the wall, really brighten the place up, paint a mural on the wall, and really put in more cribs and just celebrate what God is doing around here. And that sounded like a good idea to the board. I mean, we were stupid. We just didn't know. So they voted, and we took some saws and some sledgehammers, and I mean, we were so excited. We had that thing knocked out and opened up, and we had painting on the wall, and we went from a Monday night to a Sunday that we had a new and improved nursery. I've never seen one man so mad in all my life. Steam was coming out of this gentleman's ears. He was spitting as he spoke. And it was all coming right at me. I said, brother, what's the deal? You tore down the wall. Who cares? Amen? I mean, you start looking at things that split churches, and you know what it is? Every time it's the older brother who's upset because he loves the farm. More than he loves the Father. It's easy to do, I admit it. I mean, let's just be honest here. Grace, God's wonderful grace is a great thing. But grace don't pay the electric bill. Grace doesn't fill leadership positions. We need some people who are willing to work. Willing to do something. And after a while, once we've worked for year after year after year, it belongs to me. Everything. Doesn't even belong to the Father anymore. It's mine. Have you ever been proud of your parents? You know, hopefully they're proud of us every once in a while. Yeah, you ever been proud of your parents? That's a cool thing, isn't it? It's kind of a role reversal. You sit back, cross your arms, and go, I did a good job with them. They were a little rough when I came into the world, but I've done a lot of work on them, chiseled them out, and now they're where they need to be. My kids still have a lot of work to do on me. Church I grew up in, Mom told me that the old gang got together camp not too long ago. And it's kind of an odd thing, I guess. There's a whole group in the church there that went to church together for 40 or 50 years. And a lot of people like to camp. And so there was 40 or 50 people when someone would say, hey, let's go camping, then everybody would show up. And sometimes, you know, it'd be backwoods, you know, no electricity, no water. And sometimes it'd be, you know, let's all go to Florida together. And a few times it was, hey, wouldn't it be fun to all go do this for Thanksgiving? And 40 or 50 people would show up, the old gang, you know. And these were the people in my lifetime who were my Sunday school teachers, who were team leaders, all this kind of stuff that was going on. As a matter of fact, I saw all of them at my grandmother's funeral. This is kind of funny. One of the guys I grew up with, he was always a jokester, Jeff Dollar. He's a pastor now. It still blows my mind. And Loretta Gassaway, we called her Lodi. She was always working with the teens, you know, kind of one of those always with the teens, always hip, you know, always doing stuff with the teens. And I saw her at my grandmother's funeral, and I said, Lodi, you ain't changed a bit in 20 years. You look exactly the same. She said, that's funny. Jeff Dollar told me that the other day. I said, really? She said, yeah, Jeff told me. He said, Lodi, you haven't changed a bit in 20 years. And she said, Jeff, you know that I've gotten fat and ugly. And Jeff said, like I said, you hadn't changed in 20 years. Are you starting to get the picture? This is a group of 40 or 50 people that really do enjoy one another, that can kid with one another, that have a good time together, that really do enjoy being together. And I never could quite figure out how it was, because they split down the line. About half of them are Republicans and about half of them are Democrats. And you wonder how that works. Well, they just don't talk about politics. And it was always kind of interesting, too, because during my formative years growing up, we had three different pastors. There was Brother Smith when I was a little boy, Brother Madison when I was kind of growing up, and then Brother Palmer when I was in my teenage years. You like the way Southern people, brother and sister, isn't that cute? Now, see, my parents, they loved Brother Smith. And the whole, well, half of the group of the old gang, they loved Brother Smith. The other half didn't like him at all. He was just too... And then Brother Madison came along. And my parents and the group that loved Brother Smith, they just didn't like Brother Madison. And the other group, they really loved Brother Madison. And Brother Madison left, and then Brother Palmer came, and my parents again were in hog heaven. They loved him. And the other group didn't like him at all, just to... But then they finally had something they could agree on. A new pastor came, and they all disliked him. I never did quite get it. I mean, he's a funny guy. He's faithful to the gospel. He's a good man. Matter of fact, I would go so far as to say he was God's gift to that church. Now, let me tell you what I mean by that. You ever gotten a gift at Christmas time you really didn't want? Great. Socks. It's what I needed. Just didn't want it. Well, sometimes God does that. He gives us gifts we really don't want. Nobody liked Brother Mike. They didn't even call him by his last name. Did you figure that out? I don't care one way or the other, but there's little messages people send in life. So one of them came up with a bright idea. What we can do is we can starve this guy out. Everybody's going to withhold their tithe. A lot of money there. 40 or 50 families in a church. You can starve somebody out quick. And they came to my mom and my dad and they said, we want you to do this with us. I was really proud of my dad. Now I want to be clear. They neither one liked him. But they said, no, I believe the Bible says tithe belongs to the Lord. Doesn't belong to the church. Doesn't belong to the preacher. We give this in obedience to God. So we're not going to play that game. That's hard. You can lose friendships over stuff like that. They didn't. But about 100 people left the church. I'm talking people that have been going to church together for 40, 50 years. They leave. You know, here's the thing. These are good people. Everyone showed up for my granny's funeral. Sitting around talking and having a good time, remembering when. Sunday school teachers, they were talking about sermons they had heard, about things that had touched their hearts in life, what God was doing. But boy, they don't like Brother Mike. Brother Mike's been there 20 years now. They've been gone 15, and they still don't like him. Why? Because he's immoral? No. Because he doesn't preach the gospel? No. Just don't like him. Not taking my church where my church needs to go. Scary, isn't it? Because it's easy to start loving the farm so much that it's more important to us than the Father. Last Sunday in Sunday school, Cindy McCracken, don't you love the way that I quote people and fail to ask their permission? Seems to be the McCracken month. Cindy McCracken made a comment that just struck me. I'm a picture person. I tend to see things in pictures. And she said, you know, it's funny how we set up idols. Again, this, correct me if I get this wrong, because I'm telling what I thought I heard, what I remember hearing. It's not always the same thing as reality. She said, it's funny the way we set up idols. Whatever that may be in life, you know, whatever it is we worship, and we bow down to it. Well, the Bible says that we do that. What she said that struck me, though, was she said, it's funny how we ask God to come and bow down to our idols and serve our idols. God bless the farm! Because that's what I really love. And I want you serving what I really love. Isn't that a scary picture? Standing there before this stupid idol and saying, God, would you worship this? And yet you tell me how that's different than what the Son is doing in this parable. I think the interesting thing for us as we are in the faith for a while, it's probably not the sin that you can point out so easy. I think the thing that we have to be on guard for all the time is the farm. Whatever that may mean in your life. That I start loving this more than I love him. That I start wanting this more than I'm wanting him. I can see it so clearly in the son's attitude. It's nasty. It's embarrassing. But it floors me when God shows it to me in my own heart. I'm going to ask John and Maria if they'll come this morning and lead us in a song of response. Here's how I want to connect something John said earlier, that God works through our weaknesses. It's a very interesting thing. I can talk and I can tell you stories and I can throw out philosophical concepts like farm and father. And here's the incredible thing that happens when we gather to worship. Farm in the story means the farm. But farm in our life means something different, maybe. And isn't it interesting how the Holy Spirit just kind of has a way of coming in and going, if you're not careful, here's your farm, baby. Or He comes in and He says, hey, this just isn't about the older brother. You've put the farm in a place before me. And God speaks. It's miraculous. So this morning, I just want to say, if God is speaking to you, don't just walk out, pout and be mad. And for heaven's sakes, just don't fake it. Let's be thankful for grace. That God does the miracle of all miracles to show us ourselves. And put the Father where the Father belongs. Father, I think we all probably have, to one level or another, farms in our life. Maybe they're flat out in the right place. Or maybe they've taken on a reality that you're trying to show us it's in the wrong place. Maybe it is something as simple as possessions. Maybe it's more righteous sounding. It's the church. It's my family. It's my spouse. Maybe it's a reputation that we want protected above all else. A bank account. Goals, dreams. Father, whatever it may be, I pray that we would clearly see Your word today of how heartbreakingly ugly it is when the farm gets in the wrong place. Father, I pray a prayer of really of pleading to You. Because I'm the hardest one to see stuff about me. It's so much easier to see it in everybody else. That if there's a farm in my life, if there's an idol in my life that I've placed to the point that I'm even asking You to serve that, I pray You would show that to me. Pray that You would show it to all of us, Father, whatever that may be. We don't want to walk around like pouting two-year-olds. And we don't even want to fall back and just be fakers. We want to live seeking first the kingdom of God and Your righteousness. Father, all we want to want is what you want in our life. If there are things that are crowding in the way, I pray that you would reveal that to us, that we could knock down those high places and exalt you where you belong, as Lord of all in our life. We pray this in the name of Christ our Savior. Amen. Stand together with me, if you will, and receive God's blessing upon your heart and life. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance and give you peace. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.